you're in the water loop.
This is Pointe aux Chenes, Louisiana. I'm on the property of Chief Chason of the Houma Nation, one of the indigenous tribes to this area, the Louisiana Delta, the Mississippi River. This land is significant because in the 25 years that she has lived here, it has transformed. This used to be basically woods, trees, but now the water has moved in and taken it away, and where they used to be able to go hunting for deer, now they have to go fishing. And this is all because kind of the Mississippi is cut off from doing what it has always done, flowing, flooding, rebuilding wetlands, rebuilding land. It's not just this property that's a problem for the Houma Nation, but many of the other members live at this edge of the water and the land, and the water is continuing to come. So often that means they have to move or resettle elsewhere, or it means that some type of structure like a levee is needed to protect these homes. Really a case where the tribe needs to continue to be consulted, authentically consulted and talked to make sure that nature-based solutions and other projects are providing the resources and protection that they deserve. Waterloo. Thank you for having me here, Chief. And could you talk about this place and this land and your people?
Okay, yeah. So in this area right here, right now, we're was considered Pointe aux Chenes, Louisiana. And it means point of the oaks, because growing up, when you turned down this main road, it used to be full of oak trees. Ooh. And you could barely see the sun because it was so thick with oak trees growing up. But this is where we're at. And it's about 20 minutes south of Houma. Mm. And we're on my property. I'm at my home. And I have my family's from the Ile Jean Charles and the Grand Cahier area in Pointe aux Chenes. So I have family from a little bit on all the tribal communities. Here.
And the Houma Nation. Mm-hmm.
Our Houma people. Yeah. We're indigenous to Louisiana. We're one of the tribes that's indigenous here. Our people originated where Angola is today in Baton Rouge. Yeah. Baton Rouge means red stick. But when the French explorers came in, they seen a red stick, and it was a boundary line between our tribe and the Bayou Goulas. Oh. They didn't have fences back then.
Right.
So that's, and then, so the state capital is named after our tribe.
The marker.
Yeah,
there.
The marker, red stick. Yeah. And at Southern University, they have a marker that still represents our people. Oh, wow. You know, the red stick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could you talk about your relationship with the Mississippi, you know, the river,
right,
and all of these waterways and marshes and lands, you know, that from the historic relationship, mm-hmm, kind of through today?
Sure. So our first encounter with the French was in the 1600s. And the first map that we've seen, and I actually seen the original map of 1701. Huh. And our people has from 1701 till now have always lived around the Mississippi River on either side. And so when to see those maps, which I just recently saw these maps within the last 6 months, to see the original 1701 map was amazing to me. And, you know, one of my friends, he's a curator, and he's just, you know, that's his thing, his map. And he laid out all these maps, and our people was just on both sides of the rivers back and forth from 1701 till the 1800s, wow, you know, just migrating south, all along the Mississippi River.
Okay.
And our people still live around the water. It's not the Mississippi, but we still live around water.
Yeah.
You know?
And obviously using all the resources that the river provides, right?
Mm-hmm.
That,
correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We're fishing people, you know, and we're agriculture, you know, we're farmers.
Mm.
And now, since we moved south here, we've adapted to the shrimping, oyster fishermen, and, you know, that's what a lot of our people do these days.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. How have, you know, over the long period of time, have you all seen the water change, the land change, the river change.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And yeah.
So you have to go back in the 20s when the Great Flood of Mississippi, when the Army Corps of Engineers came in and dammed up the Mississippi River. So it stopped the natural flow of water. The discovery of oil and gas in the 30s. So they came in, all the companies came in and just destroyed our land. And it looks like a spider web on a map. Well, now, once they did that, there was no fresh water to replenish all that salt water that was coming in. So our land has just eroded away from the salt water. And so now it's, the land loss is tremendous. And after this Hurricane Ida, you know, I was saying earlier that you just, there's, if you don't know where you're going at, you would not have known where you was at. I mean, the landscape has changed so much, the water. And places where I grew up fishing, you know, my dad's from Île-Jean-Charles, and growing up fishing, these certain places, they're no longer there. There's no indication. And where my nanny's daddy lived at, we used to go there. We used to have to take a boat to get to his place, a pirogue, to get there. A pirogue's like a dugout. Used to get over there. And there's no indication that there ever was any homes there. It's nothing there. It's just all gone.
Open water.
All open water. There's no land. There's no indication there ever was a home there.
So there's cases where your people have had to move and relocate because of the water just taking it over, because the way the river was cut off from replenishing the...
Yeah. There's a little story behind that too. But you know, that's a long story. I know where you're going at, but that's a the resettlement project. That's what you're looking at. That's the project you're talking about when people left.
I didn't know if that is something that impacted you all. I'd heard about that a few years ago, or more, on the news and reading stuff. I didn't know if that was the whole nation.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's just the whole, it's not just that community though.
Okay.
You see?
Yeah.
They focus on that community, which is my dad's from, and my grandparents are from. But it's all of our coast communities. Mm-hmm. And that original project had all the coastal, they changed it.
So it was supposed to help a broader everybody that was being impacted, and they merit it.
You know, Louisiana politics.
So some people, some homes, whatever, were resettled, relocated, helped with that financially. Others were just left to figure it out by themselves.
Correct. And then now the people that did leave, they still have homes there. But if a hurricane comes, they cannot repair it. The most they could repair it is $250. So the camps people, what we call the weekend folks, they have more rights than the actual residents. So that's a whole different story.
Solutions, quote, if you will, right? Is resettlement a solution? Whew, that's tough. That's tough to leave a place where you have history.
Well, it's tough. I could tell you, we had a conversation with some of the elders just in December. What's tough is that our tribe was, you know, pushed to this area. We were pushed to the end, you know. And now, here we are, just like I was telling you earlier, the Marganza to the Gulf. That eliminated that whole community that should have been enclosed in that. But they left it out, so they said it wasn't worth it, the cost. However, they spent $40-something million to relocate these folks. So, you know what it cost that? To enclose people. people didn't want to leave. That's their home. That's their territory. And so we were pushed to this area, and now they want us out. And they're not protecting us.
And you're being pushed by the water.
By the water.
Because the, which is really pushing because of the way the levees have stopped the river from doing what it's always done.
Correct.
Replenishing this place.
Correct. And I was telling you earlier as well is that is on two occasions now within the last probably, say, 8 months. Well, since the summer of last year, there's two occasions that I've seen that there's been alligator and dolphins next to each other, which is just unheard of because, you know, alligators are fresh water. And so they're adapting. And that's salt water. It's pure salt water. You know, because you catch sharks there, stingrays, you know, they have porpoises and dolphins all in that area. And now here it is. You see an alligator's adapt to that.
Wow. And where is that?
7 miles from here at my dad's, okay. At the marina, at Illegentia Marina. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what about your land here? What change have you seen?
Oh, there's no more trees in the back of my house. I have 10 acres of land. I own 10 acres, and there's no trees any longer. The kids used to hunt deer back there. Used to have deer tracks all in my yard. There's nothing. There's all water now. You could fish. You could fish. And then at one time, it was just fresh water. Well, now it's brackish water, a little bit more salt water coming in. And they used to have ducks. I was talking to some biologists just recently, and they were saying the new Louisiana now is Oklahoma because of the climate. So the birds are not, the ducks are not here like they used to be because the reserve isn't bump up against my property. Okay. And so you don't see the birds like you used to, the ducks.
So they've mm-hmm. left.
Yes.
Even.
So our tribal guys are leaving here to go hunt in Oklahoma, which... they've done that for the last 3 years for the same amount that they used to catch.
Wow. So, so not hunting the ducks here as they had historically, mm-hmm. even just hunting deer or mm-hmm. whatever, the fishing that you would used to mm-hmm. do, adapting to shrimping mm-hmm. and oystering mm-hmm. and that. So
correct.
Changing your kind of historic ways correct. As this landscape changes.
Correct. You have to adapt.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you mentioned that project and the levees that they're building mm-hmm. That's going to protect some areas, protect
all areas
mm-hmm. or places where mm-hmm. some of your people live. Mm-hmm. You talked about how you weren't consulted and other tribes weren't consulted during that process.
Mm-hmm. Not at all.
Yeah.
We had no clue.
Could you... give an example of where your advocacy or your consultation has resulted in a project that is better for the people?
The Morganza to the Gulf Project. Because the Morganza to the Gulf Project now, if they would have consulted with us, you know, they would have known that where they started it was not the right way to do it. They should have, you know, included the tribal communities. And the original map of the Morganza to the Gulf Project did not include any of the tribal communities. And so we fought and we had community meetings. And then so now pretty much all the tribal communities are protected, will be protected by the Morganza to the Gulf Project.
Any other projects, any other involvement in restoration, protection, conservation? What's your role in that?
Yeah, we do it's just so many different levels of protection and consultation and, you know, dealing with just the day-to-day, I think. I would call it the day-to-day. It's always putting irons out on the, you know, putting fire out.
Yeah.
But right now, one of a major project that we're looking at is we have a 33,000 square foot building. And so one of the things that we're looking for is to be able to do something, a green project. a major green project where the water will be recyclable off the grid because hurricane comes. You know, we're out of power, we're out of water. Could be 2 or 3 months at a time. So this last hurricane, we were out of electricity and water for months. And so we're trying to do some projects right now that will assist. We're looking for the future,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
Because it's just a matter of time when a hurricane's going to come.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. You know, and so we want to be ready for this. And we want to live off the grid. We want to have gray sky, blue sky projects. You know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what about the water that's continuing to move in? What's the future look like with that?
Say my age, I'm 59. And as long as I can remember, this government's been talking about creating barrier islands, protecting the barrier islands, replenishing the barrier islands. We don't see that. If that would be happening, then we wouldn't be in the shape we're in right now. And I just look at all the other coastal, you know, communities with, you know, Alaska. I mean, not Alaska, but, you know, like where you're from, all the southern coast, the Gulf. Why is it just Louisiana?
Mm.
You know, and it's because we don't take care of our coastline.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that would be a nature-based solution, is to restore barrier islands that were there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for this conversation. Very, very informative. Appreciate it.
No worries. Thank you. Thank you for coming, for giving me an opportunity to be able to educate our people, you know, people regarding where we live at and where we're from. And, you know, our people always lived around the water, and to this day, you know, I have alligators in my front yard, you know, yeah. I have eagles. That's why I was just looking at an eagle.
The water is still where
yeah.
you're living.
It's a double-edged sword, because you have the hurricane that will destroy us with the water. But yet this is our living, our oyster, our shrimp, our fishing, our alligator, you know, everything.
Yeah.
So, and we live in nature. You know, we live in harmony with this.
Please stay tuned for more of the series, Mississippi by Nature, supported by the Walton Family Foundation and outfitted by Patagonia. To find all episodes, sign up for email updates, and connect on social media, visit waterloop.org.
You're in the Waterloop.